It's good to be here, and thank you, Brother Darren, for asking me to do this, and thank you for my pastor for trusting me to do it, because he had to run it through him, I promise. So, but I want you to know, before I go any further, I want you to know that this is very serious to me. Like, I take this very serious, probably more serious. I know it's a youth service, but I'll probably take that more serious than I would preaching anywhere in the world, because I got a burden that y'all don't end up making the mistakes that I made and walking down the roads that I walked. Because if I could go back to where you're sitting right now, I would change a lot of things. I would have ran to an altar. I would have let God fill me with the Holy Ghost. I would have started praying right then. I wouldn't be behind. I feel like I'm behind. It took 26 years for God to get a hold of me, and I come tonight to help it where it don't have to be like that for you. I just believe that God wants to do something. If you'll just give the time. I know the food's cooking. I smell it. Smelled it the entire time. But if you would, for just a moment, let's get into the word of the Lord. And let God have his perfect way in this place. If you got your Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 1. Says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, and the Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Everybody say, I have faith in me. Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on my hands. Why don't you lift up your hands and your voice and begin to cry out? Oh, why don't you say, God, we need your help today. God, we need your anointing today. Oh, we need you to move today. God, I pray over every young person in this place right now, God. I pray that all attention would be on you, God, that the focus would be on you, that your will would be done, that your hand would come down right now. Why don't you lift up the name of Jesus all over this place? Oh, come on, help. Why don't you just press in just a little bit deeper? Say, God, I need a word from you tonight. God, I need a stirring tonight. God, I need a touch tonight. God, I need your hand tonight. Oh, in the name of the Lord Jesus, the help of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to preach. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. You can be seated. Ever since I walked into a One God Apostolic Church, I began to hear and read about miracles, signs, and wonders. And it intrigued me, and it still intrigues me to this day. That's kind of, I long for the gifts of the Spirit working in the church every service. I long for miracles and signs and wonders to be in the church every service. And I've longed for it, and I've thought about it, and I've read about it, and I've tried to operate in it. And I've seen a few miracles. It wasn't that long ago, I was sick, definitely sick, it felt like to me. I don't get sick very often, but when I do get sick, it's terrible. And I left work, and I called, or I texted my pastor, and I said, hey, when you go to pray, can you please pray for me? I'll just come in, get prayed for, and walk out. And I came in, and I quoted the word of God. I said, God, this Bible says, If any sick among you, let them call on the elders of the church and have them anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith. And you know what? I came in, and he did, and Brother Darren Motes did. They prayed for me. And when I walked in with the fever, I walked out sweating. I've seen miracles happen. I've seen things happen. But when I read this Bible, I really feel like the miracles that we talk about and the miracles that we long for, when we talk about them, they're always yesterday's miracles. We don't see the miracles like we're supposed to see. We don't see the miracles that happened in the Bible. Let me read to you of the many miracles that Jesus performed when he was walking on the earth. Every city that he went, Matthew 23 and 24, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness, all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went through all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them." Matthew 8:16, it says, "And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick." Matthew 9:35, it says, "And Jesus went out about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Can you see where I'm going? Matthew 14:14, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them and healed their sick." Matthew 14:35, it says, "When the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole." Matthew 15:30, I'm going somewhere, I promise. "And the great multitudes came unto him, having them that were with them, those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel." Matthew 19:2, "And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there." Matthew 21:14, "And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them." I just read to you 9 times just in the book of Matthew alone that every person that needed a miracle, when they came to Jesus, they got it. Every single one of them. I believe it's the will of God that every time we step in the door, that miracle should happen. We shouldn't have to be worried about just one here, one there. Hey, everybody that's sick needs to get healed. Everybody that needs a deliverance or to get a deliverance. I'm tired of talking about yesterday's miracles. I want to see miracles. And I know what you're thinking. That was God manifest in flesh. I know what you're thinking. That was God manifest in the flesh. Of course he healed everybody. Of course he healed everybody that showed up. Of course he cast out every devil. That was God manifest in the flesh. He had the spirit with no limit. He could do it. Well, what about when the disciples did the same thing? The Bible, Jesus said, "He that believes on me, the works that I do, you'll do, but greater works than these." Hey, it's the will of God that we do greater works. Let me read to you about the disciples. Matthew 10:1 said, "When he called him unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against spirits, unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." This was not God manifest in the flesh that had this power. This was his disciples. Acts 5:14, it says, "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women." I believe that's a miracle too. A miracle of growth, a miracle of revival. "In so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." Not just a few, not just one when they really needed, but when they brought them to when Peter's shadow passed over them, they got healed. Hey, I'm telling you, it's not the will of God that these are yesterday's miracles. It's the will of God that these are today's miracles. And I know what you're saying now, that was in the Bible. Well, what about Azusa Street? What about when the Holy Ghost started falling in 1906? They had a room where there was wheelchairs and crutches and walkers and canes. things. They came in needing them, and they walked out with them in the room. They were healed by the power of God. I'm tired of hearing about all-night prayer meetings that lasted till morning, and people were carried away, drunk in the spirit. They couldn't even speak in English for a few days. I'm telling you, all of these things are yesterday's miracles. And I don't know about you, but I'm so tired of talking about yesterday's miracles. Yeah. I'm so tired of talking about what happened back then, what happened on the missionary field, what happened back in 1901, what happened in the upper room. I don't know about you, but I want to talk about some miracles happening right here and right now. Hey, it's in you. The power's in you. And I come to stir it up tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So the question that is posed is, why are all these miracles yesterday's miracles? Why are all the miracles that we talk about, besides a few here and there, once again, yesterday's miracles? Why don't we see miracles now like they did back then? Can I answer that question tonight? It's because we're content to live without them. It's because we're content to live without miracles. Hey, we live in a generation that just wants to be saved and left alone. They want to be saved and comfortable. As long as we keep that mindset, every miracle is still going to be yesterday's miracles. Because you know what? There's something more to it than just getting the Holy Ghost and saying, you know what? I'm saved and I'm sanctified. I'll just sit here till Jesus comes. That's the reason we don't see miracles like we used to is because we got a saved and comfortable mentality. We're going to have food tonight. You know it. You smell it. Whether God moves or not, you know that you're going to go back there and you're going to eat. I hope there's liberty that if God decided to give us one of those all-night prayer meetings, that we could push back that food long enough to get a breakthrough, to get a miracle, to get the breakthrough that you need. Hey, I'm telling you right now, we got to get out of the mindset that we just want to be saved and comfortable. Hey, we got a mindset that whether or not they get the Holy Ghost, we can still go do whatever we want to do. Hey, we got a mindset in the church. I'm talking about the church's mindset. We got a mindset that says, you know what? Whether the Holy Ghost moves or not, it's not going to change my life that much. Come on, I'm telling you, I've been praying. I've been talking to God. We live in a generation that says it doesn't matter if the Holy Ghost moves, my life's going to be the same. Whether or not somebody gets delivered, I'm still going to get to go eat after church. Whether or not somebody gets delivered, I'm still going to go to the gym later on. Hey, I'm telling you right now, we got to shake that mentality. We got to shake that mindset. Hey, what about the drug addict that walks in? Hey, their life is dependent on this. And they're dependent on you. And they're dependent on me. Hey, we got to do something about it. Your life might be all great. You might be saved, you might be sanctified, but I'm telling you, there's people that walk into this place every service that their life is dependent on a miracle. And it's up to us to give it to them. We got to shake that mindset. We got to shake that mind. We got a world to reach. I was driving back the other day, last Saturday, I was driving back from the place where my family lives, and I come by the marijuana place. And it was raining outside, and they were wrapped around the building, had their umbrellas waiting to get. Well, I wish the church was like that. I wish they had umbrellas waiting to get in here to see what God was doing. Then I kept on driving, and I went to Oaklawn. I went by there, and there was 9,000 cars, and every parking spot was taken. There was $20 parking over here. It was all taken. There was $10 parking over here. It was all taken. The entire big, huge lot was full. The overflow was full. Hey, there was probably tens of thousands of people going into that casino and going straight to hell. And where's the heartbreak over that? Where's the heartbreak? That's why we don't see the miracles, because our heartbreak is gone. Our burden is gone. I've been praying lately. God, keep me. How can I go to bed so comfortably at night when the whole city's going to hell? We don't even have 1% of the people of this city in this church. Don't even have 1%. Not even 1% of your city is saved. And we're fine with coming into church, getting our little touch from God, going home, doing whatever we want to do, living however we want to live while the city needs saving. I think about Nehemiah. Yeah, we're supposed to have the joy of the Holy Ghost. I believe that. But he came into the king's presence. He was sad one day. He was sad. And the king was like, "Why are you sad, Nehemiah?" He said, "My city's on fire. The walls are torn down. Hey, well, I wish that would get a hold of you right now. Hey, my city needs saving. Hey, my city's on fire. Hey, they're going to hell. Hey, I need to reach somebody. I need to teach somebody a Bible study. I need to give somebody a word." Oh, we got to get it. If you get a hold of that right now, those miracles will come back. We live in a... I'm telling you, we live in a generation. I'm talking about the church as a whole. We got the best church in the world. And don't you ever take that for granted. But I'm telling you, we live in a generation. They want to be hyped up. They want to scream and shout, but they don't want to change their life. They want to dance while the preacher, you know, a preacher can get on some stuff that'll make people, it's like a trigger. They can start talking about the oneness of God. They can start talking about blessed coming in and blessed going out, and everybody will be jumping and shouting and screaming and dancing and running. But then you talk about, hey, put the video games down for a while and get in a prayer meeting, and they shut up. Come on, we got to get out of that mentality. Yeah, you're supposed to run. Yeah, you're supposed to dance. Yeah, you're supposed to shout. But you're also supposed to repent. You're also supposed to pray. You're also supposed to live it. Oh, hallelujah. We got to live the life. We can't dance with the dancing and not pray with the praying. We can't dance when he's talking about the blessings of God, but sit there like this when he's talking about your prayer life. Come on, we can't dance and shout when he's talking about the blessings of God. And when he tells you to push that plate back for a week. Come on, God can tell you to do that. Hey, and when he does, if you dancing and shouting with his blessings, you better rejoice when he tells you to consecrate for a little while and do what he tells you to do for a little while. It was last fall, and we were at, it was MAC is where we were at, and there was a preacher, and he was preaching about the Word of God, and he was preaching about how we need to get out of our entertainment and get in the Word of God. And I was like, thank you, Jesus, that somebody's got the guts to preach like this at a conference. Yeah. Because that's soul-saving kind of preaching. Yeah. And you know what? He called the altar call, and people were going out the back door. Yeah. 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 I don't know if I should do this, but some of them were y'all. Because I know you, and I seen you. But then the next day, the guy preached about worship. And everybody was down there jumping and shouting and having a good time. That's great and all. Hey, but when he's preaching about the Word of God, that's what's going to save you. That's what's going to change you. If you can jump and dance and shout with the hype, you ought to be able to jump and dance and shout with the Word of God going forth. Oh. Come on, I know this is... It's going to get better, I promise. I'm telling you why we don't. Right now, I'm telling you why we don't see the miracles. In a minute, I'm going to tell you why we can see the miracles. I'm telling you why we don't see miracles anymore. It's because we live in a generation that's intoxicated with entertainment. Say that again. This generation is intoxicated with entertainment. There's a god and goddess of this country. It's called sports and entertainment. I'm telling you, and it's got a hold of this country so tight. They're filling the stadiums every day. They're filling the basketball arenas every day. They're filling the concert halls every day. And they're doing it with almost like a religion, religiously. I'm telling you, that's why we don't see the miracles like we used to see because we can't get people to put their phone down for a little bit and talk to God. We can't even hardly get people to put their phone down during service and listen to what's going on. I'm telling you today, as long as we stay intoxicated with entertainment, we'll never see the miracles that we're supposed to see. We'll never see God move like we're supposed to move. I wonder about the times we missed out because we were being entertained. I know the world's bad. Think about this. Not us, but think about this. We were in Sam's Club the other day, and we were in the return line, and there was all these, the TVs are more clear than real life right now. And I was just scratching my head, and I got to thinking, if America froze over or whatever happened, and hundreds of years later, somebody came and walked into a house, they would look at a TV and all the chairs and tables, like couches, looking toward that. They would say, that's their God. That's the God of this world. And the world's going to have their gods, but I just feel like I'm under a burden right now that I don't want this to creep into the church of the living God. I know we don't got a TV, but we got a phone. You might not have a TV, but you look at reels all day long, all day long. Go look at your phone time. I bet you there's hours that you've spent on your phone and minutes in prayer. As long as we're intoxicated with entertainment, we're never going to see the miracles that we're supposed to see. I wonder how many souls are left behind because we were too busy being entertained. I wonder how many souls that we could have reached. You were walking through the store, the grocery store, or whatever, and there were souls that their spirit was crying out, please invite me to church. Please take me. Please say something to me. Please do something. I'm needing something. And you had your phone like this, and you were walking like this. I'm surprised you didn't even trip. But you were going, and you missed out on a soul. You missed out on an opportunity. I'm telling you, God wants to use people. God wants to use you. He wants to use me. He wants to use everybody in this room. But when God's looking and saying, I need to use somebody, I promise you he's not going to go in front of a screen and get them. He's going to go to somebody that's in a prayer room. He's going to go find somebody that's got their Bible open, that's sitting on the counter and saying, you know what? God, I want to put that stuff away and I want to get in your word. I want to put that stuff away and I want to get a hold of you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of these things are the reason that we don't see the miracles like they used to see. They're yesterday's miracles. But I'm telling you, I'm in the Holy Ghost right now. I come to this place tonight to stir up the gift that is in you. Hey, we're not going to talk about yesterday's miracles anymore. I'm looking at some people, some young people right now. You got callings on your life. You got anointings on your life. There's missionaries in the room. There's people that are going to do great works for God. But until that happens, you're going to have to stir up the gift that is inside you. It's already there. The anointing's already there. You already have it. It just needs to be stirred up. Man, I wish you knew what you got when you got the Holy Ghost in you. I wish you knew what you got a hold of the night that you prayed through to the Holy Ghost. And if you haven't prayed through the Holy Ghost, tonight's a great night to do it. I believe you can do it before this service is over. But I wish you knew what you had when you had the Holy Ghost. That same Jesus that walked around performing all those miracles is living in you. You just need to stir it up. That same shadow that Peter was casting on people and they were getting healed, it's in you. You just need to stir it up. Come on, I come to stir up the anointing in people. I come to stir up today's miracles. I'm tired of talking about the past. I'm tired of talking about yesterday's revival. I'm tired of reading the book of Acts and the whole city came to God and us looking here with 1%. And I come to stir it up tonight. I come to stir up your worship. I wish I could stir up a worshiper in this house. Hey, I wish somebody would get something in your spirit that says, I'm not going to wait till somebody else worships. I'm going to worship first. I'm not going to wait for somebody else to run. I'm going to run. I'm not going to wait for somebody else to get the volume cranked up. I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be the flame. I'm going to be the one to do it. Hey, I wish I would stir up a worshiper. I wish I could. Too often we come into this place looking for something from God. We're looking to receive from God. Hey, you know what? Sometimes you ought to come to give something to God. You ought to come give him your worship. That's why David said, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. He said, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. He said, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Hey, if you'll just stir up your worship, you'll stir up the anointing. If you'll stir up your worship, you'll stir up a flame inside of you. Oh, I'm talking. I come to deliver you today. I come to deliver you from what other people think about you. Come on, because I know right now God's been dealing with you about being a worshiper. Willie, God's been dealing with you about being a worshiper. But you know what? You've been held captive by what other people are thinking about you. You know what? You need to shake that off and say, you know what, God? I came here to worship you. I came here to lift you up. I came here to magnify you. I don't care what anybody else is doing. I don't care what anybody else is saying. I come to worship God. Hey, if you're sitting over here and they're not worshiping, you need to move around. If you're sitting by somebody and they're not a worshiper, you might as well pull you a chair right up there and say, you know what? You can stay over there and not worship, but I'm going to come over here and we're going to worship God. We're going to stir something up. We're going to shake something up because he's worthy. Because he's worthy. Oh, shalabo shalabo. We got to stir up our worship. I just come in the Holy Ghost. We got to stir something up inside of us. There's miracle working power in you. There's healing virtue in you. The Holy Ghost is in you. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in you. And I come to stir it up. I come to stir up the fear of the Lord. We might get, y'all don't sit down on me now. Because I was praying about what do we need. God told me to preach stir up the gift. I said, what do we need to stir up? God was dealing with me about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So until you get the fear of the Lord, you haven't even really begun yet. And as I was looking, the fear of the Lord was the precursor to the miracles in the book of Acts. I'm just going to, for sake of time, I'm just going to read a couple. Acts 5:11, it says, and great fear came upon the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Acts 2:43, and fear came upon every soul and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Let me tell you, the fear of the Lord is a reverence to God, a reverence to his house, a reverence to the things of, you know what it means to have the fear of the God, of the fear of the Lord? It means, you know what? I got 22 hours in a day to do it, to have my fun, to get my talking out, to get my joking out, to get my laughing out. But there's a couple hours when I get in the red hot presence of God. You know what? I need to be focused in on what God's doing. I need to be focused in. Hey, if there's somebody that's trying to get the Holy Ghost, that should be the most important thing in your life. If there's somebody that's trying to get a breakthrough, that must be the most important thing in your life. But too many times, I see somebody trying to get the Holy Ghost, and I see somebody else laughing and talking and playing. I'm telling you, we got to get rid of that. We got to get rid of that. We got to get a hold of the fear of the Lord. I was praying Monday night before I wrote these notes. And I was praying, God, show us your glory. You know what God told me? He said, if I did that Some people might not like the results. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Because when the glory of God shows up and you're not operating in the fear of the Lord, judgment is pretty severe. Let me tell you about it. The book of Acts. They had the glory. They had the gift stirred up. Right after I read that about the miracles and the fear and the signs and the wonders, there were some people came in and they said, we sold everything that we had. And here it is. They could have sold everything they had and give a tenth of it and be in good standing with God and tell Peter, we sold all of it. Here's a tenth. You know what? They would have been in good standing with God. Or here's an offering. We gave our tithe and we gave this much of an offering. And they would have been in good standing with God. But they didn't have the fear of the Lord. They didn't have the reverence of God that I'm talking about. And they said, you know what? Let's look a little. If so-and-so gave all their money, we better do that so we look good. And they kept a little bit back and they told Peter that they gave everything. You know what happened? They had instant judgment. And God struck them down. I'm telling you right now, we need to get the fear of the Lord. Because when the glory comes and you're not operating in the fear of the Lord, the judgment's going to be severe. Hey, but you want to live a life that says it doesn't matter where I'm at. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. I'm going to live in a way that's above reproach. I'm going to live in a way that brings glory to God. Oh, I come against this indifference. I come against this indifference that's creeping in the church when somebody's trying to get the Holy Ghost and we're laughing and playing games. When we're in the middle of a red hot apostolic prayer meeting and I see people talking and laughing, it gets a hold of me. It's like, how? How? I'm sitting here tapping into something good and I'm looking at people, it's like they're oblivious to what's going on. I came today to stir up that fear of the Lord. Hey, we got to get a mindset that says, hey, these are the things of God. This is more than just the things of man. This is the things of the Almighty God. These are the things that are going to help me get to heaven. I'm hurrying up. Last, you come to stir up your prayer life. I know we live in we got a praying church. We sure do. We sure do. But do we have a praying youth group? Let me go a little bit further to the people that are older in the room. Yeah, we got a praying church, all right. But do we have a praying individual? Are we living off the prayer life of other people? Or we got our own prayer life? Come on, I come to stir up some prayer in somebody. I come to stir up the gift of God. You're never going to stir up the gift of God if you don't stir up your prayer life. We got to pray like never before. Hell's got its grip on the world like never before, so the church has to pray like never before. You got to stir up your prayer life. I wish you knew how important your prayer life was. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In English, in modern day, you might could say, you're going to become what you give yourself to. That's right. Yeah. Come on, if you give yourself to basketball, you're sure going to have a good jump shot. But on judgment day, that jump shot's not going to matter. God's not going to say, well, if you make this shot, you can come on in. God, he's going to say, you had plenty of time to give to the court. But you didn't have enough time to give the prayer. Hey, I'm telling you today, if you give yourself to Instagram, you might be an influencer one day. But being an Instagram influencer ain't going to get you to heaven. Because one day we're going to face eternity and you're not going to be able to get a prayer life anymore. You're either going to say, like Pastor always says, you're going to say, I'm glad I did have a prayer life. Or you're going to say, I wish I would have had a prayer life. You can give yourself to money. You're sure going to make some money. I promise you. But money, you can't take money with you to heaven. Yeah, we got to have money. Yeah, we got needs. I understand all that. But if you give yourself wholly to money and you can't give yourself any to prayer, you're in danger, my friend. Hey, it's time to get a hold of God. It's time to stir up some prayer in us. Hey, Why don't you give yourself to the anointing? You want to be anointed? You want to be chosen of God? Why don't you give yourself to prayer? Why don't you give yourself to study? Hey, you want to preach the gospel one day? Why don't you start opening up your Bible right now? Why don't you find somebody and give yourself to teaching a Bible study? Why don't you find somebody and say, let me tell you about Jesus? Oh, shalalaboshata. You can stand with me. It's time to stir up some things. It's time to stir up some things in our spirit. We can't rely on yesterday's miracles. We can't rely on yesterday's anointing. We can't rely on these things. We can't rely on yesterday. Hold off on the music for just a little bit. I wonder when's the last time that we put our phone down for a week and said, you know what, I'm not gonna look at anything except your word and prayer, God. I wonder when's the last time we put, you fill in the blank. You know what, when we put the weights down and said, God, I'm not gonna lift no weights for 1 week. I'm just gonna get in your presence. I'm not going to go out anywhere all week. I'm going to come to this church and I'm going to pray and I'm going to seek your face. Not just because you need something. Not just because you got to preach somewhere. Not just because God had you to speak at the chapel or something, but because you love him. Hey, what have we made it that the only time we consecrate is when we need something? The only time we set ourselves apart is when God wants us to do something. We don't do it. That's pretty selfish. When's the last time you missed your bed for a night of prayer and supplication? When's the last time you really got yourself to an altar and said, God, I'm not leaving here until you bless me? When's the last time you wrestled with God and said, God, I might not even can feel you right now, but when I leave, I'm going to be feeling you. God, I might not know where your presence is right now, but I'm going to stay here until I find it. Oh, I wish a young person would come. If you want God, there's anointings in here and callings. If you want God to stir that up in you, why don't you come gather around the front? Why don't you come gather around? I believe God wants to do a miracle right now. When I was preparing this message, and when I was talking about, when I was writing the word, stir up the gift, you know what that means? That means to rekindle a fire. Yeah. To rekindle, that's what the fires are. There was a fire, I was researching this, and there was a fire in California, and they thought they had it all put out. And they woke up the next morning, and that wind had blew. And you know what it did? It stirred up that fire. And that fire fell. And that fire started burning again. Well, then I got to thinking about the day of Pentecost. It says there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. God told me, if you want your gift stirred up tonight, lift up your hands. The winds are going to blow. It's going to relight a fire. It's going to relight something in you. Oh, Rabo Sataya la Rabo Sataya. Come on, reach out for God right now. I want you to do it with your voice. I want your voice to be the instrument. We'll have music in a minute, but I want you to reach for God. Come on, that sounds good. Come on, stir something up right now. Stir up the gift that's in you. Stir up the gift that's in you. Stir up the gift that's in you. Come on, that's good. That's it. Press in. Press in. Press in. Itorobo sata ya raba ya la la boko shata ya la la sata. Come on. Come on. Another level. Another dimension. Another anointing. The wind's beginning to blow. Come on. Stir up that gift. Stir up that anointing. Stir up that ministry. Stir up the fire. Come on. Don't worry about what's going to come. Don't worry about the food. Don't worry about anything. Worry about God. Worry about stirring something up inside you. Come on. The Holy Ghost is moving. The Holy Ghost is moving. By the power of the Holy Ghost.